It is my great pleasure to introduce our speaker for this morning, Margaret Poitras. She has dedicated her career to working in the community for the last 30 years and has been involved in the field of HIV and AIDS since 1988. Margaret has been in a leadership position with the All Nations Hope Network for the past 15 years and is currently the chief executive of that organization. Margaret is also the chairperson of the Saskatchewan Indigenous Council on HIV and AIDS, which is currently implementing an Indigenous strategy on HIV/AIDS in Saskatchewan. She's a First Nations member of the National Aboriginal Council on HIV/AIDS, a council to advise Health Canada on issues that affect Canada's Aboriginal peoples. Margaret's currently involved with numerous committees, research gatherings, conferences, and meetings to address the multitude of health and social issues among Aboriginal peoples in Canada. She's of Cree ancestry, has two beautiful children, three grandchildren, and is from the Musqueam First Nation. Ms. Poitras.
Good morning. So I'm going to put my timer on. Sometimes one of my gifts from the Creator is to speak, and sometimes when the words come, I want to make sure they are staying to the time that it's been given to speak and to share. It reminds me of one of the minister who said, when the Spirit's gone, that's enough. No more. Those long sermons or long teachings that we get once in a while. Anyway, thank you very much for inviting me. And this is my third time invited. And I said three times lucky for me that I made it this time and I came early so I could be able to share and to meet some of the members that come here. Thank you for the opening and the introduction. Also, thank you for the tobacco. As an Indigenous person, to me, I have some understandings and some teachings around tobacco and the sacredness of tobacco. And I just want the people to know that today. I'll put this out in a and either what I do when I'm offered tobacco is I burn it and I pray. So your prayers are here. And today I'll make sure that happens. And sometimes I'll go out and put it in a good place and give it back to Mother Earth, too, in both ways, burning or giving it back. So today's a good day, and I'm so thankful to be here and to be able to speak. And every day that I wake up, I'm thankful. As a leader at All Nations Hope and a leader of other opportunities that have been given to me, I enjoy the work that I do now today. I'm 52 years old. I'm a grandmother. And I'm so proud and honored to be here today and to speak and to share with you some of the work that I do and some of my understandings as an Indigenous woman, as the CEO of All Nations Hope, as a leader that has been chosen to represent in many different areas, in not only in Saskatchewan but in Canada and sometimes internationally. There's so many things in 2016 to be happy and thankful for in my world, and I hope in your world too, as we begin to move forward. And I just want to light a candle for my family today, if I could. Kinship is very important to us as Indigenous people. And to understand what that word means is one of our teachings that we've lost or that has been forgotten among Indigenous people, and I believe among all nations. And kinship to me is very important. It's about our family. It's about our values that we have for one another as human beings first and foremost. On the way here, I came from Saskatoon this morning. I was spending time with my grandchildren and also at a soccer tournament in Saskatoon. And the way here this morning, I had the opportunity to speak with my mother, who is 75 years old and who's very alive and so always teaching me and will teach me, you know, even when she's gone, I'll still be receiving her teachings through our memories that we have together. But we're talking about, I said, you know, as I stand before any place, I talk about that I'm indigenous, that I'm spiritual, that when I speak to people, regardless of where I speak to them, that I can be what they are. Today, I'm a member here of your congregation, your church. If I was to speak among Buddhists, I would be a Buddhist that day. If I speak in the Christian community, I'm a Christian that day. If I speak in the traditional indigenous community, I'm traditional that day. I'm many things, and that's what was spoken in the Bible by one of the apostles, that whatever I am today, I'm there for the people. And one of the things I understand, the teachings that I know to be true, is that we're all related, all my relations. And you'll know that in some of the indigenous gatherings and teachings that we go to, we'll always say at the end, all my relations, because we're all related. The same spirit that lives in you, lives in me, lives in our Creator, and we're all one. So no matter where I go and where I talk and what I speak about, it's all related to the Creator, to the one that we all serve, the one that we all worship, the one that we all ask for many blessings day to day. Today I ask the Creator to bless you and your families as you go about your day-to-day work in the community and in your family and at your places of employment. I work at All Nations Hope Network. I've been there for almost 16 years now. Or actually, it is 16 years. In October would have been 16 years. I've always been involved in that, in the work of All Nations Hope, or the work of HIV and AIDS in the community. I've always worked in the community for all of my life, all of my working career. I've worked in the community. And to me, that's important, to help people, to help human beings, because regardless of where we are, who we are, if we're Buddhist, we're Christian, we're traditional, we're whatever, we're still human beings, and that's the thing that connects us all. We're human beings first and foremost. And so when we speak about the work that we do, and I speak about the work that I do, we're human beings first and foremost, and that's my understanding as we begin to move forward in helping people to live today in a world that is very hard to live in. A world that is filled with so many things that our young people, we have to think back on how to bring back, to restore some of our ways that our ancestors had to live with among one another in a way that's going to bring life to the communities. So at All Nations Hope, I've had that opportunity to be involved in developing a strategy, which is a vision. You know, our network is based on spirituality. And so that foundation was built by some of the elders that were involved in our network many years ago. And so they've talked about over the years and have instilled in us the fact that as we move forward, we include the Creator in everything that we do. For myself as the CEO, when I write proposals, I pray and I ask if this is the work that needs to be done here. If it is, then so be it, and I'll begin to write. And for me, that in my later years, that understanding helps me to move forward and do the work that I need to do in a good way. And it's more easier that way for me. Whereas, you know, if I did it the other way, and it's all my thinking that I can write this proposal because my intellect is there, that's not where it's at. I have intellect because the Creator has given me that gift to be able to write, to be able to speak openly and boldly about and then my understandings around who I am today and what my purpose here is on earth. And I think about that all the time, and I instill that in my staff that I work with and the people that have opportunity to come and gather with us, is that we have to ask ourselves, what is our purpose here on earth? What are we here for? You know, we're not here for the 9-to-5 Monday to Friday jobs. No, there's so much more in what we can do in our 9-to-5 Monday to Friday jobs. And that's what I look at All Nations Hope, and I instill in the staff that, you know, the work that we do here is so important because we work for the Creator. We're co-creators, and we're helping to rebuild people. And that's another teaching from our elders that talks about the fact that the work that we're doing now is we're rebuilding. We're rebuilding people, communities, families, nations, and we're working together in unity. So the best of all worlds in terms of how we're wanting to move forward and address some of the issues that we face today in this world that's so hard to live in for the people. And I like the service today and some of the words that were spoken, the words that we're saying. Those are words of life to me, and those are words that we need to continue to greet one another with as we move along in the world and our day-to-day duties, whether it's in work, community, or in family, to build one another up and to continue to build them up. And the opening song about love, well, love for us is one of our values as Indigenous people. We have seven values, and one of them is love. And love is the important one that I understand is a medicine that is freely given and freely taken. And so, we talk about our ways forward, and the medicine of love is important. And even have opportunities to speak to doctors and to nurses and other professionals who are writing prescriptions or are seeing people on a regular basis. And I said, someday when you're sitting and talking and spending time with the person that's sitting across from you that's come to see you for a medical reason, write them a prescription of love, that they love themselves first and foremost, then they can love others. And that's important for us to understand too, from the work that we do, that we are that we need to have a relationship with ourselves first, to love ourselves, then we can love others, and that's in love our God, of course. But as we move forward, that's important. And some of those teachings are right now we're in the process of restoring a lot of what has been we've lost as Indigenous people in this land called Canada. And I wanted to touch on truth and reconciliation and what that means to you. And I want to share with you what that means to me and what it means to All Nations Hope as we move forward and talk about the truth. I had an opportunity to sit a little bit this morning with some of your members and talk about developing a relationship and, talking. And you guys know a little bit about me, where I'm from. I'm from Muskaugan First Nation, and thankful you were able, most people can't say Muskaugan. They get all tongue-tied or whatever, but thank you so much, Muskaugan. And I wanted to start off today, and I went on a roll, but my Indigenous name is Madewin Okechitaskwayo, which means in Cree, that means kind-hearted warrior woman. And so that name to me means a lot, and when I say it and share it with you, that's who I am, and that's my spirit. And as I talk, I'll speak in a kind way to get understanding around where I am today, where my family is, where my nation is, where Indigenous people, to share that with you so you have an understanding, develop that relationship with you as we move forward, because this is my truth as an Indigenous woman. I am here today. My purpose is to rebuild people, to rebuild relationships, rebuild the nations that were once here. And we look and see what is happening to Indigenous people in Canada. I'm Indigenous. My family is Indigenous. And I do this work for the generations to come, not only my generations to come, but your generations to come, to understand that relationship that has to be built between nations so that we can begin to move forward. That's my truth. Today, the truth is, my ancestors, this is the land where, this is this place called Canada. This is where my ancestors were from. And you sit and if we had more time, I would ask you where your ancestors are from. And then let's talk about the relationship our ancestors had together during the time of colonization, when your ancestors came here and my ancestors were here, and what happened. And so, today, when we look at what is happening with Indigenous people, we need to have that understanding. I want to know if you've forgiven your ancestors for what they did to my ancestors during colonization, during the residential school that happened here in Canada. And if that forgiveness can happen between you and your ancestors, and I know that I've had to forgive my ancestors for what has happened to me today, that forgiveness is very true. That's my truth, and I want to share with you that truth also, that you forgive your ancestors for what has happened. Then we can sit together, you and I, and we can talk about reconciliation. That's our truth. We forgive one another. That forgiveness is so important for us to work together now. And as Indigenous people, that's the way forward. And the understanding that from my perspective, at All Nations Hope, that we have very strong ways to move forward. We have solutions for what we're facing today in Canada and in Saskatchewan for Indigenous people, to help them move forward, to restore their language, to restore their teachings, to restore their relationship, to restore their relationship with the Creator, to restore the relationship with himself, with their families, with one another, with all the nations, restoration. So that's important to us, and that's what truth, and that's my truth, and that's where reconciliation will happen. Reconciliation is not an indigenous word; it's a word that has come from a different nation. But we have said yes. Let's talk about truth, and let's talk about reconciliation, and let's begin to move forward in a way that's going to help the people, to rebuild the people, to restore what has been taken, lost, or stolen from them, so that they can move forward in good ways now. And that's my truth, and I wanted to share that today with you as we begin to acknowledge that we do have different languages, we do have different ways forward, but in essence, there's one thing that we all have in common, is that we're human beings, that the same blood and the same spirit that's in you is in me, that is in our Creator. We have the same, and so that unity is important to also talk about as we move forward, and to remember that forgiveness is at the root of many things. So for us at the network, a lot of our work that we do there is around our truth as Indigenous people, but we want to start the working together more closely with many, many agencies, systems, institutions to help address what we're seeing among Indigenous people, among all people that are hurting in our community. We have so much poverty and so much homelessness and addiction that needs to be addressed, and working together is in a good way. And you know that the truth and reconciliation I talk about, where we have this understanding around forgiveness. We forgive ourselves and we forgive each other, then let's move forward. But then let's take the best of all nations and put them together, and let's move forward. As Indigenous people, we have our own teachings. And I as I move forward and I begin to listen to other nations and to hear about their teachings too that have been lost or taken away also, they're all similar teachings. They're all the same. We're like, I begin to understand that we have different ways of doing teachings and worship and tools, but they're all similar because we're all the same, right? We all come from one Creator, and so it's nice to see that as I move forward and address some of what I would like to share with many people. I have opportunity to speak all the time, all over the place. That's again one of the gifts that the Creator has given me, the ability to speak and to speak truthfully and to share that with you today. And I'm thankful to be able to be here. And next week I'm going to be in Ottawa, and I'll be talking about truth and reconciliation with the government people, and talking, for us to move forward, we need to understand that the Indigenous people have strengths, and they're resilient people, and we need to now work with Indigenous people and to bring those back forward up to the forefront, the strengths we have in many different areas and teachings as Indigenous people. We need to help and work with one another. So, I have those opportunities, and I'm thankful for that, because to me, that's what's going to bring life to the people. It's not institutionalizing them. It's not putting policies in procedures in place. It's about talking life to them and what are the real solutions for as we move forward, and to bring people up to rise for Waniska, to rise once more. Time to get up. Time to wake up. And when that spirit is woken up in the people, then we can see the people move forward and begin to address their own issues, find the solutions that live within them. Just like the solutions live within you, you just dig deep enough and you have the solutions. You don't need a government or a worker telling you what to do and how to do it. Those solutions live inside of you, and that's the spirit that is in us, that Waniska, to wake up once more, to rise and to address what needs to happen in your own life for you to be able to move forward. In some of our teachings and understandings at All Nations Hope are based around those kinds of understandings, for us to be able to have elders in place for that spirituality to be in full force at our network. So we do have, at All Nations Hope, we are a network in Saskatchewan, so we have a team of six people that are working on the strategy, but also working on some of the network activities in Saskatchewan, being part and parcel of many different research committees, gatherings, conferences, opportunity to speak openly like this, and bring forward some of the solutions that we have as Indigenous people, to speak openly and loudly so that people understand it's time now to work together. We also have a team of Indian Residential School Resolution Health Support staff that are helping people with residential school claims and helping them to move forward, providing emotional support to them here in the city of Regina and area. And we have a team of outreach. We have an outreach team that works every day in the city on Fifth Avenue, 2735 Fifth Avenue. And what I like to say when I talk about the outreach team is that when people walk through our doors, we're providing them with mentally, emotional, physical, and spiritual help. So we're feeding them that way, feeding them mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So we feed people physically there every morning. We give them a safe place to come and to hang out and to be. We have a phone there for them to use. We also get the leader post. We have a variety of other agencies in the city that we work with to help get people moving forward as they need to. We have a cultural team of elders and teachers that come in and talk about some of our ceremonies, some of our language, some of our providing some spiritual guidance to move forward, praying with the people. Every day we pray at All Nations Hope. Every day at 10 o'clock we have a smudge ceremony or a prayer ceremony that goes on in our ceremonial room for the people. And it's almost like, I always thought it was like a, if you want to think in a church way, it's kind of like a church in China that we have every day open for the people. And the people come as they are. We don't care if they're under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or if they're in a bad way. We welcome them into our center. We know they're not mad at us. And so we try to sit and spend some time with them and talk to them about what's going on that day. Sometimes just saying hello to them and listening to them is what all they need for that day, and something to eat and something to drink. So, you know, it's about being very humane to people, treating them as human beings, because that's one of our teachings too, is when people are sick that we should embrace them and help them, not shun them and say, you can't come here because you're under the influence. No, that's where they should come. People should come when they're under the influence or of drugs or alcohol, or when they're having a hard time, come to a place where they have some understanding. And so it's every day that we're open there from 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and developing relationships. We have some programs that go on there too, and connecting with lots of the other agencies too. They're doing some of the similar work, or work where we can ask the navigating people to where they need to go. Lots of work to do in our cities. There we go. Lots of work to do in our cities, but, you know, again, the more I can go out and speak like this in Saskatoon and Prince Albert and North Battleford and LaRonge and Yorkton, we'll see things come together that are going to be better for the people that are most at need. You know, I like talking about the fact that that saying, what would Jesus do? And you know, what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do? Well, we're doing what would Jesus do right on Fifth Avenue. We're taking care of the people that are most at need. And that, to me, is life-giving. And talking life all the time. There's lots of opportunity to talk death. You know, my early years of working, before I was fully awake, I was still asleep, and I was doing things from right here and not from right here. Not from my heart. I was doing things from my mind and full of ego. And I would talk all about the negative things. You know, probably 10 years ago, if you asked me to come speak here, you would have heard all the statistics about HIV and AIDS, about addiction, all of that, all that jail, everything. I would have talked to you about that. That's death. There's no use me talking death. I need to talk life. And that's what God has instilled in me, the ability to speak life to the people now, and to speak life every day to myself first and foremost. Then I can speak life to the people that I've been asked to speak to. So I'm thankful today for being here, for being able to speak. And if you're interested in knowing more about All Nations Hope, come visit us. Come take part in our 10 o'clock morning sessions and pray for the people. And when, you know, after I leave today, pray for us. Pray for the people at All Nations Hope that, you know, as we move forward, we're going to do things in a good way, that will wake up the people to the acknowledgement that the Creator is still here. And I want to thank you today. Hi. I can take some questions if I can answer them. If not, I'll have to say, you better get to your prayer closet. That's a good movie, any of the War Room with the prayer closet.
Thank you. I just wonder why we're just finding out about the residential schools and the bad things that happened this last 2 or 3 years. Why are we just finding out about it now?
That's a very good question. You know, it's a well kept secret in what happened in residential schools. And I'll tell you my personal story of my own family and my father, who went to George Gordon First Nation, which was probably one of the schools that there was so much damage done to families and community. And he didn't tell us till he was 60 years old, and it was the year he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. He didn't share with us what happened in George Gordon Residential School till that year of the sexual and physical and mental and emotional spiritual abuse that happened to him at that school. And that school was already up and running for many, many years. And so, it also took place to my grandparents and great-grandparents and so on, that abuse that took place there for many, many years. And it's Canada's well-kept secret in the world, too, about the residential schools. And now that we're facing an epidemic in Saskatchewan here of HIV among Indigenous people, and what's driving this epidemic in this province is injection drug use, which is an addiction. It's a health problem. And what's driving that is, again, what has happened in our communities with our families around many of the traumatizing hurts that they've been holding for so many years and not sharing with anyone, not even their own families. I didn't know that happened to my father until he disclosed to us on the year he died of what happened in that school. And just recently, my mother, who went to Muskaugan Residential School, shared with us her story in the last couple of years, too. And so we grew up not knowing, even in our own family, what had happened, because it's shameful to talk about. There's lots of shame that the people carry. And so when you see them walking into your institutions, systems, and agencies, or your places of work, if you're in the helping professions, or even if in any place, when you see Indigenous people, they're walking hurt people. They're very hurt. And so our understandings is to really help them and to understand what happened in those schools and to their families, and to be so that even when you do the truth of what has happened here in Canada for Indigenous people, and you do the forgiveness work in your own life, and then you can understand when people walk through your door and are asking for help. They've been through so much and they're so hurt. And it's Canada's been hiding the secret from the rest of Canadians for many, many years. And so as we move forward, they've put some Band-Aids on over the years, put Band-Aids with the settlement payments that the government and the churches are putting out there for residential school survivors. Those are Band-Aids, and you've seen so much harm done for the people when they've given a bunch of money and they're still hurt, and then they go on and it's suicidal. It's like their own death, right? They continue. We've seen too many people lose their lives with having that much money and, drugging or drinking themselves to death and suicidal, and all of that has happened in our communities, which is, but today's a new day, and as we move forward, we're looking at those 94 recommendations that the Truth and Reconciliation has put forward in Canada, and the Prime Minister has acknowledged them and is working together with Canada to say, hey, this has happened to Indigenous people, let's move forward, let's do this truth and this reconciliation that has been talked about. And, as Indigenous people, we put all our efforts into our ceremonies to bring that forward now. It's time to heal. You know, the days of talking about them and, it's been revealed. And now that forgiveness, but we have to continue to move forward and say, okay, let's do this truth and let's do this reconciliation now. Let's work together. But yeah, it was very well hidden, even among Indigenous people. We never talked about it. No, and those days are coming. Yeah, thank you.
I'm Sandra. Anyway, I have been thinking, as you have been talking with us, about the patients and generosity of First Nations people to be emotionally open to reconciliation, to be talking about it as though they have a side to do, and so do we, but actually we are the ones that have to make amends. And so I just was appreciating the generosity of spirit in that way of dealing with things. I also wanted to comment on the fact, or the question, why are we now just finding out about all of this and that it has been a secret?
I recognize that a lot about residential schools has been secret, but the more you read get into the history, Canadian history, what's written that's a summary, but also the diaries and the documentation, it shows the culpability. And it isn't secret. It's right out there. And First Nations win there a lot of the legal battles because it's just in black and white right there. Mm-hmm. And, I just wanted to comment on the patience with mm-hmm. which First Nations people are dealing with this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, it's one of our teachings, right? We have to follow our ways as we move forward. You know, as a leader at All Nations Hope, I am always conscious of not leading the network in a colonized way. I want to bring life to the people. I want to talk in good ways, and I don't want to do it in a colonized effort at All Nations Hope. We get stuck in these silos or these boxes of our policies and procedures and our laws, and sometimes those things are broken. You know, I had the opportunity to speak to some of the doctors, the leading people in Regina, at the Regina Coppell Health Region, and they talk about how we're going to fix the people. We don't have to fix the people. It's the system that's broken. We have to fix the system. That's what needs to be fixed. They need to be more understanding about people that are walking through the doors. They need to feed them mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually when they walk through their doors of the emergency or the hospital or the clinics that they're coming into or that they don't go into because of how they're treated. So they need to fix it, and then the people will come. I think that's scripture, too, somewhere about fixing something that's not broken. But, you know, as we move forward, I think that's a good way of understanding that sometimes it's not the people. We have to fix our ways within our institutions, our systems and agencies, so we can help people, not stop them from coming through the doors and seeking the help that they need. And that whole, I had the opportunity to go to the Saskatoon Truth and Reconciliation gathering they had a couple years ago, and met and sat with an older man who was from Ireland, and spoke with him, and he said, I understand what Indigenous people in Canada are going through, because any place a nation goes in and conquers the people, their way forward is to kill the family too, in their ways. And Ireland had that, and he was from Ireland, and he understood that very well. So he came and volunteered in Saskatoon because he understood what Indigenous people were going through here in Canada. And so I think every nation that's been conquered or had an involvement know what it is to be here in Canada. But today is 2016, and we're in Canada. And one of the things I think about is that this is a developed country, but yet in Saskatchewan we had two babies born with HIV in this province, and a third one that they're checking on. And in a developed country, there should be no reason that a baby is born with HIV when we have access to all care, treatment, and support in this land called Canada. So there's something is wrong there that is broken. But it's not the people again. It's the system and the institutions that need to be fixed. They need to adjust. So, that's our vision, and talking about it in a good way, I think, is great. And yes, we do, Indigenous people, we need to do our own forgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves, because when you see someone walking around in shame and blame, they're not very good people in society to be involved with. They're always angry, and they're always hurt, and we see that every day. And so that forgiveness does have to happen with us, too, and we do have to forgive one another to move forward to address what we're faced with today in ways that are going to bring life to the people and not death. Yeah, there's way too many people in our prison systems that are just hurt people from what has happened here in Canada with the residential school and with through the colonization. So that's my understanding. And the more we talk about it, I've talked to all of you, and I hope you understand what I'm talking about, and then you can talk in your circles, and we can begin to talking more and looking for solutions together. That's important. Thank you.
Hi. My name's Debbie, and I really admire the work that you do on the Fifth Avenue. I also worked on Fifth Avenue for years at Service Canada, and I met very many fine people that came in for the common experience payment. And some of the stories that they told me, we just didn't realize it wasn't just the children being taken away. It was the actual reserves that you wipe out all these little children, you take them, put them in a school, and you have this reserve that has no more children, no more happiness. Parents are longing for their children, and the hurt that it brought to not only the children but the people that were left behind. I think that we should always treat everyone with the compassion and kindness, and I think Canada does have to forgive themselves for what was done. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
And good job.
Thank you. I was going to just talk about when I worked in the community many years, and before I was at All Nations Hope, I was a childbirth instructor at the Healthiest Babies Possible program. And I always thought that instead of apprehending the children, they should apprehend the family, the whole family, and work with the whole family instead of taking away, you know, separating, because that just reminds us of what happened in a residential school. And I come from a family of eight, and my mother was married twice, and I'm the oldest of her second marriage, but my father raised all of my mother's eight children. And my father and my mother were residential school survivors. And in our life, in my childhood, we were never told that we were loved. We were never hugged, and that comes from what has happened to them. And that's how many generations now. But today is a different day. We've drew a line in the sand, and I've said that in my family, my grandchildren will never experience that. They'll always know they're loved, and this is their kinship. This is your family. This is your mama, your papa, your mushroom, your kokum, your uncle, your auntie. This is your sister, your brother, your cousin. They'll always know kinship. They'll always know they're surrounded by family that love them. And that's our understanding in my bigger family, my brothers and sisters, that we tell one another that we love them. And we tell our parents, that my mom now, that we love her all the time, and we're always in contact with her, and we've broken that. And that's what needs to happen in our families, to understand kinship, the true meaning of that, right? And that's at the outreach program, we have the elders that come in, and we specifically pick three older women that can sit and listen and to the men that come in that are broken, to the women that come in that, you know, don't have no children because they've been apprehended, to sit and listen to them and to understand them and to say yes and then offer, let's go pray. Let's pray about this. You know, offering them life, feeding them, right? Always feeding them, nurturing them. You know, as an Indigenous woman and as women in general, we're nurturers. We'll nurture, you know, when it is this... I have an opportunity to listen to so many teachings, and one of the teachings I got from a lady that's from Mexico, an old lady, she must have been in her 90s, and she was talking Spanish, and she had an interpreter, and she talked about as a woman that our power is right here, and that as we move forward, we're always going to be, as a woman, you're going to nurture all of your life. You're going to nurture from when you bring spirit into the world, and spirit grows right here. And then you're going to nurture right here when you feed. You're going to nurture there. And then you're going to nurture as they walk alongside you right here. And then you'll be nurturing them from here for the rest of their life. And those are men and women that are part of you as a woman, right, that you've brought into this world. But also you're nurturing all people. That's what our role is today, is to nurture, to reestablish, even as in an Indigenous population, we're reestablishing our roles as Indigenous women, because we were once the ones who did ceremony, who did all the teachings, who did everything. We nurtured, and that needs to happen once more. Right now, when you look at our agencies and organizations, it's women that are leading forward, Indigenous women. Right now at the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations, we have two vice chiefs who are women, and those women are going to change the way our First Nation governance happens in Saskatchewan as we move forward, because you're going to see more emotional healing, more healing coming from the women. They're going to nurture the people back to where we once were, and that's exciting. That's why I say it's exciting times in Canada, and women are always leading. and the men. You always need it. Behind every good man is a good woman that's nurturing him. And whether it's your wife, your mother, your mother-in-law, or whoever, women behind you, they're always there helping and nurturing. And that's our role today. We have to understand it as women, and to understand and to rebuild our roles that we had as men, women, children, our family structures. All those things are coming into play. That's the work, that the vision that we have through this Saskatchewan Indigenous Strategy on HIV and AIDS, is to rebuild through our ways as Indigenous people. And our relationship is not only with one another, with people, with human beings, but it's with the plants, it's with the animals, it's with the land, it's with our language. We have relationships, and those are important ways forward for us. So I'm happy about that, and I've lots of inspiration around many things, and like I said, 20 minutes is nothing. Talk more and more, but it gives me. I think my sermon's over though. the it's gone. But anyway, I love that, that opportunity. And thank you so much for having me here, and being part of being able to speak with you and teach some of what I know from my heart. Yeah.